to stand together and begin our Sona time by singing a song we introduced really a couple weeks ago, but as a congregation in the last week, we sing together a body.
Colossians 2:6-7.
Lord, we commit our hearts to you as we continue to worship. And Lord, we just pray that we would give generously, we would give willingly and with a glad heart, knowing, Lord, that we will be faithful in using everything to glorify your name and to share your love and your word. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Scripture reading this morning is 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 14. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 14. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
I'd like to welcome our guests with us today. They're here somewhere. There they are. Mark and Marianne are with us. They're camping in Matamora, and they've decided to join in with us today. So we're glad to have you with us today. And we did find out we had a connection that we went to. Marianne and I and Marianne went to the same high school together. A few years apart, but so let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you now, and we thank you for the blessing of this day that you've given to us to know for truth and reality that you are the Lord and God, our Savior, and you came to this earth. And Lord, as we sang some of those songs and questioned whether or not you're worthy, and Lord, we know you're worthy. You're worthy of all our praise. So today, as we gather together, may we praise you and give thanks and honor to you because of what you've done, but even more than that, on the cross and raising from the dead, but also more than that, for who you are, Lord. You're the Lord, the giver of life, the creator, the maker of all things, in whom we come to you today. And as we look to you, Lord, may the Spirit of God, may the Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to the truth of God, to see the realities of a glorious future ahead. And Lord, we thank you for that and ask your blessing now as we open your word and as we expound the truths that you've given to us, revelation of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we join in a text that begins actually a lot earlier in chapter 1. What we hear is Paul addressing a people who are made up of different cultures, different societies, different backgrounds. We've got Jews and Gentiles coming together to formulate the church. As they come in, they've got their differences. But then we also know that Paul admonishes them back in chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for the message about the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so we see that the message of Christ is unique, and it's for specific people. He lists them out as those who are the us. Later on, he calls them the chosen, those who have been chosen by God, who have a heart that has been transformed and changed to see the truths and understand them in the way God wants to do it. We know that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's where the end of chapter 2, up around verse 14, it is affirmed to us that it's the Spirit of God who transforms our hearts to understand spiritual things. The mind, we have the mind of Christ. Those who do not have the mind of Christ, those who do not have that special relationship with God, well, they don't think the same way. They think same thoughts, but the application of those biblical truths have no meaning in their life. They're on a different wavelength. I mean, you might say a different broad bandwidth, you might say. So as we think about that, I think about bandwidth, you know. We got AM and FM bandwidth, you know. If the AM radio is amplitude modulated, and don't ask me to explain the amplitude modulation, but it is a form of taking a person's voice and transmitting it 50,000 watts out into the airwaves for a long distance, like WJR 760 WJR, and you've got the amplitude modulated frequencies, you might say. But then there's the FM, which is frequency modulated, and that was developed a little bit a few years later than that, after the AM, and it's a different kind of transmission of sound waves, so that it becomes more precise, its quality is much better. So when you were younger, if you ever listened to the radio, you didn't usually listen to music on the AM radio because it was kind of not real good. You went to your FM station and listened to the music on that. So, but what you're seeing here is you've got different types of frequencies that are being broadcast. FM is not broadcast on AM, and AM is not on FM. And I'm speaking to a crowd that probably has no idea what an AM/FM is. Okay, let's talk digital and analog, okay? We can talk digital and analog, okay? You know, those of you who may have an analog phone, I know somebody who has an analog phone. Most people have a digital phone, okay? And so they can kind of communicate. There's some transmission going on. And that's just the way it is. We live in a world of transmission, of communication. We are receptors of communication. We talk to one another. We text one another. We email one another. I know that's antiquated, texting. I mean, there may be other ways. We communicate with one another. We're communicative. We want to pass information on from one person to another. Important information, other things that are not so important, it's just noise, you might say. But there's another kind of information that comes out, and it comes from God. And I call that the bandwidth from heaven. We have a bandwidth that comes from heaven that only certain people can tune into. And those are the ones who know Jesus Christ as their Lord. Later on in chapter 1, verse 30, Paul is summing up our position in Christ, the God who chose the things of the world that are foolish to shame the wise. God chose what the world thinks weak to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, what are regarded as nothing, and set aside what is regarded as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. This is the reason why he had to choose us, because we would boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 affirm that for us. Paul is reminding us of that here in 1 Corinthians. Then in verse 30 he says, he is the reason you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the fact that God chose us before the foundation of the world to be his children based on his purposes and plan. He chose us. He predetermined who we'd be. We had a relationship with him before we were even born. God's foreknowledge, he foreknew us, he had this relationship with us. He is the reason you have a relationship with Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. And so Paul's addressing this whole idea of wisdom. There are those who want to be wise. Wisdom is basically the right application of the knowledge that we have. In that, knowledge and wisdom are two different things. You can gain a lot of knowledge. You can be listening to a lot of different channels, different frequencies, informing you and filling your mind and your head with all kinds of things. But the thing is, how much time are we spending in the broadband of heaven, listening to who God is? And the reason we do that is because we have a relationship with Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So Paul is telling us that there's a process of coming to know Jesus Christ, and it begins with him choosing us, giving us Jesus Christ, which is the wisdom of God, the application of everything he knows, given to us. The question in one of the songs was, does our God intend to dwell with us again? Yes, he is. He does. He does intend, and he is going to come back again. Which leads me to this whole idea as we think about this particular passage, about the message of the cross that we have and the salvation we have, that we have in Christ, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, the redeeming of the whole earth, the redeeming of his people unto himself. And it says, so that, as written, let no one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let no one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We have a tendency to want to boast in ourselves, with the knowledge that we have, our brains and our minds and all of that. Let's do a little bit of study on this. Let's think about our brains. You know, so I'm speaking to your heads right now, okay? Everybody, we have a head, we have a brain, we've got a brain that's in there. And I found this interesting comparison. It says that the brain processes newer information with working memory. Your brain has working memory. It's kind of like a computer. You've got two different memory banks in your computer. You have RAM memory and you have ROM memory, read-only memory, and then random access memory. There's just two different kinds. And part of that, and I'm trying to remember offhand, which one is which? One is the biggest of the storage. So those who are computer-minded, let me know. But one of them is the storage. It stores everything. And the other one is your working memory. It works and it's working in processing that information. But it's constantly drawing on this bank. And that's how your brain works. It's working in that way so that it's taking this new information that we get to understand through seeing and hearing and smelling and touching and tasting. All of these things are using that. Your brain is an amazing, amazing thing that God has given to us. Your brain is amazing. And there's an analogy to it. Think about the United States economy. This past year, the United States economy was like $20.5 trillion. That's huge. That's a huge economy. Now think about your brain. Your brain is like, okay, let's just call it 20 trillion gigabytes of storage ability. You know how big your working memory is? Of that? Think about that. Okay, well maybe 1 million? Maybe 1,000? Maybe 100? Less. Our working memory is about $3 worth. We have about $3 worth of working memory. It doesn't mean we're not smart, it's just that's how our brain works. It works in that particular way where we're gathering new information. And as we go through this series that we've begun a couple weeks ago, we're learning about what is heaven like. The fact that Jesus Christ is coming again and going to reign on this earth tells us something about heaven. We know that we will pass from this life and we will go to be with him if we belong to him, if we are righteous, if we are being sanctified, set apart from the world to Christ, and if we've been redeemed by Christ on the cross. His payment covered our sins. Everything he did on the cross paid for our penalty. And it was something that he did that we shouldn't boast over because it's nothing that we have control over. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of his coming, Philippians 1:6. He begins it. He brings it to us. We receive it. And he will consummate it in the end. And the point is, we should be the kind of people that live in hope of a glorious future. And the question is, how are we living our lives? Are we living our lives in such a way that as we view the world around us, what takes priority? The things we see, the things that we process every day that our mind is working to gather information in, storing it into our brain, or are we looking at things up above? What are we doing? Which is it? Is it the things of earth, or is it the things from above? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul's writing to the Colossian believers. He says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, that is, if you've been raised with him in that you are righteous, you are being sanctified, you have been redeemed by Christ, if you have been raised with Christ, looking forward to our future redemption, our being raised from the dead, if you have been raised with Christ, Paul's talking as though it's really happened already because of what God has done in our life. If you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Keep seeking the things that are above. We need to be keeping our heart and our mind on things that are above. Yes, we live in this world. And yes, we need to function in this world. But is this world that we live in so important to us? Does it carry so much weight that we lose sight of heaven? This particular passage says, set your mind on, where it says in Colossians chapter 3, 1, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking. Notice that word keep in there. That is a progressive thing that's going on. It's a habitual action in the Greek. The word is zeteo. And it's in a form which is in the present tense. And we have told you before, the present tense, when it's in a present tense, it means that it's a continuous action. It continues on and on and on. And so Paul's exhorting us as believers to keep seeking. Habitually do this with regularity. Keep seeking the things that are above. The same word is used in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, where Jesus came to seek and save the lost. In the present tense, he is continually seeking and saving lost people. And if Jesus is doing that, and if we are as believers, who's given us life and hope and help for our future, our glorious future, do we have a heart for people to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What better thing could we give to their minds? A lot of people, I don't get it. I don't understand it. We can't expect them to because they're not on the same broadband. And that's the Spirit of God's work. And that's back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We see that it says in verse 9, but just as it is written, the things that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, or mind imagined, are the things God has prepared for those who love him. So there's a preparation that is going on in our hearts. There's a transformation going on. It is the work of the Spirit, and that's what it says. For God has revealed these to us by the Spirit. So in one sense, it says, things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, or mind imagined are the things God has prepared for those who love him. You can't figure these things out. And that's what he's saying. It's not something we figure out with our head. No mind has seen, no ear has heard. We don't get it. No mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for him. We can't get it. Do you know what heaven looks like? I don't know what heaven looks like. So why even talk about it? You know, there's a lot of people who say, you know, there's a verse here that says, look, we can't get it, so why even talk about it? Well, let's look at the next verse. But God has revealed these to us by the Spirit. You see, we've been brought in to listen to the broadband that from heaven, from Christ, by means of the Holy Spirit. For, and here's the explanation, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the things of a man except the man's spirit within him? So too, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So we know, here we have a Trinitary passage. We have a passage that talks about the Father who chooses the Son, who made that possible in the Spirit of God, who applies it to our lives. For who among men knows these things? For a man can accept the spirit of for the things of man, except the spirit, man's spirit within him. So too, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. You see, we get it. As Christians, as ones he called a little bit earlier, the foolish ones, the ones who don't have any wisdom, the wisdom of the world, the ones who don't seek for signs like the Jews. But you, we're the foolish ones. Has God not made the wisdom of the fooled world foolish? And since the wisdom of God, I'm in verse 21, for since the wisdom of God of the world by its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased to save those who believe by the foolishness of preaching. I'm here preaching to you. This is my responsibility as the pastor of this church. One of my responsibilities is to preach to you, and I'm to preach to you the good news and the gospel of Christ, so that you might be saved, but also so that you might have a hope and see something greater than this world and this earth that we live in. And I can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God has come and changed us. And as we expound on these words, we see that it's all about the Spirit of God. And we, in verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13, and we speak about these things, not with words taught by human wisdom. I'm not the sharpest. But I'm going to say card the deck. That doesn't make sense. You see, there I go. I kind of blew it there, okay? I'm not speaking of great things here, you know, of myself. And we speak about these things not with words taught by human wisdom, but by those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. If you know Christ, you're a spiritual person. Told you before, there's no this idea of a carnal Christian. That's foreign to me. I don't get that. You're either spiritual, you're carnal. You're either know Christ or you don't. There's no in between kind of Christian. Yeah, there are Christians there who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing out of fellowship with Christ, but they are spiritual if they truly know Christ. We speak these things not with words taught us by human wisdom, but by those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. The unbeliever does not receive these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. They hear it. They hear the message. They understand it. They get it. They can, you know, I know what you're saying to me. You know, I can put add two and two to, I know what you mean. Two and two is four, and it makes sense. The problem is to understand it in a way where it makes a difference in your life, to see the significance of it. Well, that takes something else. It takes the work of God from heaven. The God in heaven where Christ reigns, the right hand of the Father, revealing things to us. So we are to be, as in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Keep thinking about the things above. All the time. Everything you do. Always think about Christ and what he's doing. Not the things on the earth. And he says here in Colossians chapter 3, for if you have died with Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, then when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you too will be revealed in glory with him. Christ is coming again. Where's he at? He's in heaven. He's in this place that we can't see with our eyes. We don't see it. We can't smell it. We can't touch it. We can't taste it. But is it real? It is. But is it always going to be up there where this up there is at? No. He's coming again to be with us here on this new earth, this transformed earth. Everything is going to be different. Everything is going to be transformed. Everything is going to be made new. We live in a world that was created and fell, and it's fallen. And we need a new creation. One of the books that I have called Not Home Yet, the author writes, creation and new creation, being the bookends of the Bible, will transform our understanding of what is important. If we understand the redemption story from creation to the new creation, if we understand God's plan, well, that's going to make a difference. He says that's important. Christian ministry is not just about telling people how to get to heaven when they die. It is also concerned with what happens in this world. Don't hear me wrong. I'm very aware that eternity goes on for a very long time. So long that it cannot be measured. Incomprehensible. We don't get it. But what we do get is what Christ has revealed to us. What God has revealed to us in His Word. Telling people the way of salvation is of foundational importance. Without repentance of sins and submission to the Lordship of Jesus, nothing else makes sense. But that is not the end of the story. If we acknowledge that the Christian's hope is of the renewal of all things, it gives meaning to life. When you understand the whole process of salvation, from beginning to end, that Christ is come to this earth to redeem a people to Himself, to recreate this world, it transforms our understanding of the meaning of life. Christianity is not just about what happens after death. What you anticipate will determine what you prioritize. Read that one again. What you anticipate will determine what you prioritize. If you anticipate things of the earth, they will become your priority. But if you anticipate a hope of heaven to come that's beyond this, seeking the things above, well, your priorities are going to change. You're going to be living differently. We pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we long for the day when we will be a reality. It will be a reality on the earth. Christ is coming again. Christ is coming again. And this work of Him coming again, it belongs to Him. We don't bring the kingdom down. I mean, that's what this whole priority thing is about. It's about Christ coming to reign as the King on this earth. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 43, it says that He is preparing for us a kingdom. So when we think about heaven, we think about a kingdom that Christ is preparing. John chapter 14, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, that He is going to prepare a place for us. So there's this preparation process. And part of that preparation process is for us to understand what God is preparing for us. He's preparing for us a kingdom. In Revelation 21-22, we are reminded that God's work of redemption will fill the whole earth. Within this new creation, God dwells. God will dwell. And the rift between heaven and earth is gone, and Jesus will dwell among His people. Revelation 21:22. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. What broadband are you listening to? What channel are you tuned into? Are you listening to the broadcast of the world? Or are we listening to the broadcast that came from heaven that we have in the Word of God that reminds us that this world that we live in is not so great right now, but Christ is coming again and is going to rule and reign on this earth. And we will live with him and we will dwell with him. Can't understand this on our own. It depends on the Spirit of God to speak to us. The unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and they cannot understand them because these things are spiritually discerned. The one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is understood by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to advise him? He tells us. We receive it, and we live our lives for him. We give our lives. We depend on him. We trust in him. That song we sang a little bit earlier, I Depend on You. We echoed it back several times. I depend on you. How much are we depending on him? How much are we leaning on him? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Deuteronomy 6:5. It's not new news. It's old news. Trust in the Lord. Depend on him. Don't lean on your own thoughts. Because our own thoughts may be leading us wrong. We need to understand who God is. Now, God wants us to be imaginative. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, he created us to be imaginative. We were created in his image. That's part of being in his image, to be imaginative. But not create things that are outside of the truth. Truth is like an airplane, okay? So we get on an airplane and we fly on this airplane, and it's like you can just imagine greater things as we're going along. But we could actually leave the craft of the truth to go off into our own imagining things that are not true. We need to stick with the truth and imagine great things. We can't see heaven, but we know that the Bible has revealed to us many things about it. And over the next, when we get back, we're going to begin a series on what is heaven like. We're going to be spending a lot of time on what heaven is like. Some misunderstandings. Some truths that are misunderstood. Some conceptions of heaven that may not be healthy. They're wrong, just plain wrong. That's what we'll be doing when we get back, between now and Christmas. We're going through, what is it like to be in heaven? What's heaven like? We're spending time in that. But until then, we need to prepare our hearts. May the Lord, the Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts to receive the words of truth, and that we might live in joy and hope of this glorious God who came to this earth to save us, to redeem us, to call people unto us himself, to bring righteousness, to sanctify us, make us holy, to redeem us, purchase, and take back what it belongs to him. We belong to him. We trust him. Are you trusting him? Are you depending on him every day? How much? Let's pray. Father, as we come before you now, as we think of the work of the cross and the redemption that you bought for us, we think of redemption's story, and Lord, it's just not only on the cross, it is the whole revelation of, that you've given to us in the scriptures from beginning to end, from the creation to the new creation. Lord, we thank you that we have the honor of being able to hear you speak, be receptive to these truths, to live our lives for you, Lord. Belong to you. You are the vine, and we are the branches. We bear fruit. I pray, Lord, that we would be bearing fruits of righteousness, fruits of love, fruits of peace, fruits of joy, kindness, gentleness and faithfulness to you, and self-control in our life. Lord, I just know that it's the work of the Spirit that transforms us and moves us to this right relationship with you. And apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, we just trust you and depend on you. And, Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God would do his work amongst us to consider the value of what we think is most valuable and to determine whether it's in line with what you think is most valuable. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for calling us unto yourself, for bringing us to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you chose what was foolish to shame the wise, that you chose us out of the world to shame the strong, that you chose us who are low and despised and regarded as nothing, and were set aside for your purposes and for your glory. And we are now regarded as something. Our value and our hope all rests in you, Lord. You are our identity. You are our master, our Lord, and our King. May you do your work in our lives. May we serve you all of our lives, in all things and everything we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll close our service with "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb."
To whom it is, Father, it's all foolishness. And your word tells us that. Father, we thank you for the revelation of your word, that through faith in Christ we can come to understand that the Lamb is indeed worthy of you. We just praise you. Father, help us to go from this place just in awe, in amazement, and wonder at what you've done in saving our souls, and to know in our hearts and our minds that Jesus, the Lamb, who is the Lion, is worthy.